All right, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, we'll be looking at the last several verses here. But before we do, I just want to kind of give some introductions. Kind of, I don't know if you guys noticed, if you look at today's bulletin, how pastor's title kind of core-aligned a lot with my title as well. It'll have Wilton with me tonight, but I believe pastor's title was Constant Light, talking about light, how Jesus is the light. And mine, if you look at mine, it says Begging for Light. It's kind of the church theme that we're going through this year as well. It's our church's theme of Be Not Afraid, and kind of understanding who Jesus is so that when we are in times of darkness, we don't have to fear. I think the Lord's been kind of been taking me through a series, through the last several sermons I've been able to share here. And it's kind of neat, you'll see today as well. It goes a lot with what I've been sharing kind of last year as well. It kind of incorporates last year's theme, which was prayer, grace, and what we need in our lives at the same time with fear. I was able to share this challenge just this past afternoon with the nursing home, and it's a lot different sharing a challenge at a nursing home compared to sharing a challenge here with you guys. Lord's given me a lot of thoughts, a lot of ideas. I've been preparing a lot for this, and when I went to the nursing home, there's some aspects I enjoy about sharing the same message in the nursing home that I do tonight. I know it can kind of prepare me. I can kind of get a little bit comfortable with it, but in some ways, I kind of don't, because then for the nursing home, it needs to be about 15, 20 minutes. And tonight I have 6 pages we're going through here tonight. So I figured I wanted to share 6 pages with the nursing home, so I kind of gave a really good condensed thought. So there's a lot of thoughts I want to cover here tonight, but you can pray that the Lord will speak to you through this story. Begging for light. When we think about light, sometimes the very first thing that comes into our minds as well is the opposite, darkness. We don't like darkness, do we? Many times we don't like darkness because we can't see where we're going. We like to understand our paths. We like to see where we're going. But darkness can bring fear into our lives. We can be afraid. And here we're going to see a beggar named Blind Bartimaeus. He was begging for light. You know, this just a few weeks ago, we had a power outage at our house. This was before Christmas. We had these high winds coming through. I'm not sure if many of you have experienced power outages, but I remember coming home that evening from work. Coming home through E-Town, as you go past the Reams fire station there, and you come underneath that tunnel, and as soon as you hit Reams, it was dark, dark as it could be. I mean, I'm totally not used to it. I'm used to coming home in the dark during this time, kind of how it is now. And you have street lights. You have street lights, you have lights in the windows, porch lights, all kinds of lights shining around everywhere. But the power was fine in E-Town, but it wasn't as soon as you hit Reams. And as soon as you hit Reams, right when you cross underneath that bridge and you hit the quarry there and you start driving to Reams, it was dark. I mean, it had this, like, just super weird, eerie feel to it. It kind of felt like, if I could say, kind of like a ghost town. It just felt uncomfortable. It kind of felt fearful. Like, this is just kind of spooky here. I remember pulling in a driveway and all the lights were off there in the house. And you just see one little light flickering in the kitchen. As I walk in the kitchen, there we have a candle burning because we don't have any electricity. And there we're using a candle. We try to get some headlamps as well. But it's not until times of darkness that we appreciate the light that we have. It's not until times of darkness that God brings into our lives that we truly appreciate the things that we do have. So if you're with me here, we're going to see a story of blind Bartimaeus, and I want you to notice one thing here. Bartimaeus doesn't have a disease. He has a defect. So we're going to go ahead and read here in Mark chapter 10, starting in verse 46. We'll read Mark chapter 10, verse 46 to the end, and then after that, Zach, if you don't mind, open us in a word of prayer afterwards. So Mark chapter 10 and verse 46, It says, "And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he had heard it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more with a great deal, 'Thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, 'Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee.' And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, 'What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?' The blind man said unto him, 'Lord, that I might receive my sight.' And Jesus said unto him, 'Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole.' And immediately he received his sight and went and pursued his own career, went and lived his life to the fullest by exploring the world now he had his eyesight back, went with his friends and celebrated at Shady Maple." Is that what it says there? No. What does it say? It says he followed Jesus in the way. He followed Jesus in the way. Can I say that this is the way? Would you not agree that this is the right way? Zach, are you trying to open this in prayer? First of all, here we see Bartimaeus had a defect. You may say, no, this is just another story of another blind man. Just another one. But no, this is more than just another man. You know, we many times don't appreciate the story of blindness because we don't experience it ourselves. We don't truly understand what it is to be blind. No, I would say it would probably be one of the last senses I would choose personally if I had to lose one of them. You know, perhaps you've had those conversations with your friends or your family. You would say, hey, if you were to lose one of your five senses, which one of those five senses would you be willing to give up? You know, I would say eyesight for me would probably be at the very bottom of the list. Because if I couldn't speak, well, at least I could learn to write to communicate. You know, if I couldn't hear, well, at least I could learn to read lips and still be able to communicate. You know, if I couldn't smell, well, then everything would just taste the same to me. It wouldn't be that bad, probably. But if you lost your eyes, I mean, that would change everything. You'd be living in darkness constantly. You know, there's no indicator here in the Bible as saying what he was able to see at all in his lifetime. Was he born blind? We don't know. Was he blind sometime an accident happened in his youth? We don't know. It doesn't say. But here we see he is sitting in a place where we would not want to sit. There he is, sitting along the side of the highway. You know, everything looks the same to him. You know, when we are in blindness, when we are in darkness, everything looks the same. A lot of time is spent in silence. No, it's interesting to see that the Lord saw fit to come close enough to Bartimaeus. You know, I don't think this was his first cry either. I don't think this was the first time he ever prayed to God, asking for sight. You know, think about all the abuse he must have taken. You know, just because of his defect, he had to deal with, I mean, there's some physical pain probably, but think about all the emotional pain he had to go through. You know, when Bartimaeus cries out, the people are close to him, but can I say the people are close to him only geographically? They are not there emotionally. They don't understand what it's like to be blind. But here we see Jesus, he comes close enough, and It says in Matthew that when Jesus looked upon the crowd of people, he had compassion on them. He understood what it felt like to be blind, to be in that place. He understands our feelings, our hurts, our needs, our times of darkness. No, we don't know what it feels like to be blind. No one really understood the darkness he was in. It also seemed that no one cared. You know, we think of the story previously in, I believe, Mark chapter 2. We see there's this lame man who wasn't able to walk. And he had four friends at least. Four friends who put him on a stretcher, dragged him to the house where Jesus was. You know, the house is totally full. But these friends, they still went out of their way. They went up to the roof, cut a hole in the roof, lowered him down so he could be healed. But blind Bartimaeus, didn't seem like he had any friends. Well, even when he cried out, what did people say? Quiet, Bartimaeus. Be quiet. You're bothersome to us. We don't want you. Be quiet. You know, this individual had a need, and seemed that nobody cared. No one really understood the darkness he was in, and it also seemed that nobody cared. You know, there's an emotional component to the story that many of us look right over. You know, he lived in fear day in and day out, not knowing what was going to happen to him, where he was going to get his food, whether he was going to be able to get enough money to purchase food, whether he was being robbed, whether he was in a safe place, whether he was going to be protected from the storms. You know, we see later on in this passage here, and we'll get to here shortly, that all he had was a garment. That's all he had. You know, there's this emotional component to it. You know, it's kind of like trying to have a conversation with a blind person. Perhaps you go to blind Bartimaeus and be like, hey, you know, it's a beautiful day outside. You know, you're able to see this beautiful sunset. Isn't it beautiful just to see the red and blue sky and the orange that's in there? Like red, blue, orange? What's that? I don't know what that is. Oh, yeah. Well, it's nice to be able to have this green grass. What's green? He didn't understand. What are people like? Oh, this is awkward. I'm going to just throw a coin in his cup and let's go away. He's a bothersome. It perhaps made the people there uncomfortable. They wouldn't spend the time getting to know him, much less help him out. He is known by his defect, blind Bartimaeus. There's also a social component to it. I mean, who would want blind Bartimaeus over to their house for a party? You know, blind Bartimaeus shows up to your house. Oh, now somebody's got to take care of him. Somebody's got to take time out of their day, out of their schedule to now guide Bartimaeus to their house, show him where the bathroom is, take him to the food table. And once he's at the table, what about this table manners? I mean, he's not eating with silverware, he's using his hands. And beyond that, how he smells. He probably smelled horrible. Who would want him around? This was horrible. Who would want him? You know, I like the fact here, it says in Mark chapter 10 that he heard. He heard about Jesus of Nazareth. How he heard, I'm not exactly sure. You know, there's two different ways you kind of look at this. Perhaps there was some mumbling in the crowd. He could hear from afar off, you know, there's Jesus of Nazareth. Here he comes. And he hears him. Or perhaps there may have been somebody who came up to him and said, hey, Bartimaeus, you remember this woman with the issue of blood? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know her. Right down the street, yeah. Well, she's no more. But she's dead? No. She's healed. She met Jesus. Hey, Bartimaeus, you remember the lepers? Yeah. Well, no more. They're healed. Met Jesus. Hey, Bartimaeus, do you remember this devil-possessed man? Oh, yeah. I wouldn't want to get near to him. What happened to him? He met Jesus. No, perhaps it may have been word of mouth. It may have been testimony, sharing what Jesus did. They were telling him the testimony of Jesus. No, Bartimaeus, this is Jesus. All he had was 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And he was able to break them up and be able to feed thousands of people. And we had 12 baskets left over. You know, Bartimaeus, this is Jesus, and he was on the bow of the ship in the stormy sea, and he calmed the storm. You know, Bartimaeus, I don't know what doctor you're seeing, but you need to see this guy. You need him. It says he heard. It says that Bartimaeus heard that it was Jesus, and he cried the more. Why? Can I tell you, he cried because he was tired of sitting in darkness long enough. With no hope, there's no physical solution. There's nothing that a human could do. This had to be supernatural. You know, it was midnight every day for him. You know, many times all we do is just give our brother the cane and says, hey, good luck, brother. We'll be praying for you. Bartimaeus didn't care what others thought. He had a need. He didn't care how he sounded. All he cared was that Jesus heard. Now, E.M. Bounds, he wrote many good books on prayer. And one of them he wrote, when you are in that situation, you have to not just cry louder, you have to cry longer. How desperate are you for Jesus? Sometimes it takes real trouble to come our way to draw us to Jesus. Until trouble comes our way, or in this sense, blindness, we don't slow down long enough to be able to hear Jesus. We don't slow down long enough to be able to hear what he needs to say to us. Yes, there's the aspect of crying to Jesus. There's times that we need to cry out to God, but I believe there's times that we need to slow down in our busy lives. Sometimes we get wrapped up in so much of this physical world that we miss out on what Jesus is trying to say. I think a lot of it has to do because we can clearly see where we are going. We aren't blind. You know, he says, we walk by faith and not by sight. Now, I believe that's what Bartimaeus was doing. Every single day, walking by faith, not by sight. He'll tell, you know, Bartimaeus, continue walking this way. You're not going to fall off the edge. You know, Bartimaeus, here's the steps. You can start walking down. He was walking by faith and not by sight. But can I say that I believe most of us, if not all of us here today, we like to walk by sight and not by faith. Because we can see. We can see with our physical eyes. It has to make sense in our mind. That's why I emphasized at the end of the story that Bartimaeus followed him in the way, by his own choosing. Consider yourself here for just a second and put yourself in Bartimaeus' spot and the desperateness of the situation. This was a last opportunity. The Lord is walking by. You know, kind of like the woman with the issue of blood. He's walking by. This perhaps is your last chance, your last hope. And that woman just like kind of walking through the crowd, I need to get to Jesus. All Bartimaeus had was his voice. His cry was almost of someone in tremendous pain. You know, they say that people who are blind, you know, they perhaps do struggle with some physical pain, but that emotional pain he was dealing with, that social pain, no one wanting him. Being cast out, and his desperateness in that situation, just crying out, perhaps even sounding like a wild animal, crying for help. The cry of pain is unlike any cry we have heard before. It was not only physical, it's mental. It was emotional. You know, I kind of think of the example of the Lord when he's praying in the garden. You know, that stress that he's going through at that time, saying, Lord, not you, not my will, but thine be done. And there he is. He goes back to his disciples and continues going back and forth to the prayer altar. You know, I don't think Jesus was just, you know, Lord, hey, if it's your will, but hey, it doesn't have to be. Whatever you choose, Lord. No. He's sweating great drops of blood. He's going through a lot of pain here. All this stress. And this is kind of what Bartimaeus is going through. He's crying out. Jesus coming. And the crowd has the greatest opportunity to say, Lord, you know, we have this man. He's blind. He's dragging down the community. Could you please do something about this man? You know, there's not enough programs in the community to help this man out. We don't have the doctors that can heal him. Lord, we have this blind man. We're bringing him to you. Could you do something about him? They had the greatest opportunity set right before them. And they could even hear him crying out, saying, Lord, have mercy on me. But what do they say? Quiet! Quiet, Bartimaeus. We don't need you. Instead of being a mediator, he said, be quiet. Leave him alone. You know, I'm sure this wasn't the first time that they told Bartimaeus to be quiet. Perhaps in all his years, we don't know how old he is, but in all his years of being blind and begging and constantly hearing him on the streets, how tiring that must have been to hear. I'm sure he's developed some thick skin by then. I'm sure that he probably would have been quiet any other time. But this one time, he knew he needed Jesus. He was tired of the darkness. Do you see yourself in Bartimaeus here? No, I know we all here aren't physically blind. We all here are not in physical darkness. But we may have some spiritual darkness in our lives. How desperate are you about it? The fear that you're living in and day out. Things that don't make sense in your lives. The fear that you go through, what tomorrow may hold. Lord, what are my plans for the future? What am I going to do? Crying out. You know, it bothers me that no one stepped up to stand for him. Can you imagine the loneliness of the darkness? Being rejected by all. Many times it is even in the quiet of the darkness that the Lord is trying to speak to us, but we need to be quiet. You know, it's kind of interesting here that we see that this is taking place at Jericho. You know, what do we know Jericho for? You know, we think of the famous story of the Battle of Jericho, where the walls came tumbling down. And what did the Israelites have to do? They had to march around the city one time every single day for 6 days in quiet, right? They couldn't say anything. They had to be in quiet. And then the seventh day, they would march around an extra 6 times, and then they could blow their trumpets. You know, I believe it is in those times that the Lord perhaps even speaks to us, in those moments of quietness. You know, I think of Elijah, the great prophet. You know, things weren't shaping up for him. He was going through some hard times. You know, the Lord called him into ministry. And we see these great things that Elijah has done. You know, but revival doesn't take place. He gets chased down by a queen. He runs to the mountains. And what does he say? No, he's in spiritual darkness. He doesn't see God right now. He's got things blurring his vision. He says, Lord, just kill me. I'm done. And what does the Lord say to him? You need bread? You need water? I can provide those things. You know, aren't you the one I fed by the brook? Aren't you the one who raised the woman's son? You know, but though he can physically see, he can no longer see the Lord. There's that physical darkness. When was the last time you paused for a minute and lost your vision? You know, I like it the way that one preacher said it. When was the last time you lost your W? You know, we know the verse, where there is no vision, the people perish. You need to take away the W. Here, there is no vision, the people perish. When was the last time you lost your vision? What's it like? Perhaps in a sense, we need to be like Bartimaeus and pause for a minute in our spiritual blindness. We need to sit down and be quiet. Or perhaps we have lost our vision and we need to do what Bartimaeus did and cry out and say, Lord, I need help. You know, darkness can be a good thing if we handle it properly. You know, the Lord hasn't deserted us. The Lord promised He would never leave us nor forsake us. You know, there's some great friends you can have in your life. There's some great friends that you can go right into and they can give you advice. But I have a greater friend who understands all my needs. One that I can run to in darkness. You know, many times we are like Bartimaeus along the highway side, blinded in the darkness, not knowing which way to go or what to do next, begging for light. Lord, show me something. What are you doing? Lord, help me. When we are in that spiritual dark place, I think it's usually the last call we make. You know, when we get in that spiritual darkness, we're like, oh, better call a doctor. Better call a psychiatrist. Better start taking more pills. And can I say, better call Jesus first. Better call Him. I believe that Bartimaeus didn't care how he called, but that Jesus heard. I'm talking desperation. The family member's sick. The bank account's overdrawn. You don't understand why things are happening in your life. The doctor came out with a diagnosis you don't want to hear. The heart is broken like an egg. Sometimes we get a little too sophisticated in our prayers. Sometimes we go to Jesus and say, Lord, you know, I got the situation in my life, but hey, may your will be done, whatever it is. Or perhaps we're like, we think, put him too highly, and like, Lord, we know you are in the high in the heavenlies. We start going so sophisticated. When all we need is desperation. Can I say there's a whole crowd there with Jesus? A whole crowd. They're there geographically. Jesus knew where they were at, but they weren't there spiritually. And yet there's one man, Bartimaeus, who stopped Jesus in his tracks. Why? Because Jesus heard the cry of one who was desperate, one who was needful. It wasn't the cry of, Lord, this isn't my fault. No, it's not my fault I was blind. No, Lord, I have this excuse. I can tell you why. No, he said, Lord, have mercy on me. You know, we even see in the scriptures that it says that these people, they viewed this man, this blind, these blind beggars as perhaps, who sinned, Lord? Was it him or his parents? They viewed him as a sinner. And Lord, and this Bartimaeus man, he didn't say, Lord, you know, I didn't sin, it's not my fault. Lord, have mercy on me. He wasn't trying to explain his defect. He was just simply coming to Jesus. I just got to get to Jesus. You know, then we see here, if you move on in verse 50, he says, and he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. You know, I think that is so neat. Because here we see Bartimaeus. And what do we know about Bartimaeus? He has nothing but his garment. There he is. He's on the side of the highway, having nothing with him. He hears Jesus off in the distance. And they eventually say, all right, Bartimaeus, bring him to me. And they come and bring Bartimaeus. He says, "Don't, hey, be of good cheer. The master calls you." And what does Bartimaeus do? He takes off his jacket. He takes off his garment. What does this garment represent? Anger? Bitterness? Malice? Wrath? I don't know. But can I tell you, that garment right there was his home. That was his everything. He said, you know what? I just got to get to Jesus. I'm tired of this darkness. I'm tired of this blindness in my life and not knowing what's going to happen tomorrow. I've got to get to Jesus. That garment is not going to be my way. My possessions, what I'm holding on to, is not going to be my way. I'm done with it. And can I say, us Christians here today, there's perhaps some things in our lives that Jesus is calling us to throw away. There's things that are holding us back from getting to Jesus. And we got to throw that garment away. And you ask, why is this so important? Well, look there in Mark chapter 10. What just happened in the previous verses? Who did Jesus just deal with? The rich young ruler. What did the rich young ruler do? This rich young ruler, he comes to Jesus and says, Lord, you know, what would I have to do? Jesus says, well, you know, keep the Ten Commandments, and so on and so forth. And this young man says, you know what? I've done everything from my youth up. And the Lord says, all right. Sell all you have and follow me. What did the young rulers do? I can't do that. That's too much. What was his problem? Can I say his problem was probably his eyesight? He was walking by sight and not by faith. You know, that blind man could see more than that rich young ruler could. That garment that is the blind man was worth more than all the money that rich young ruler had. And where's this rich young ruler at today? He's probably in hell. And where's Bartimaeus at? You know, I believe we'll see Bartimaeus in heaven. Each choosing a different path. One choosing a path because he could physically see, and the other one choosing to step out in faith and follow him. You know, I'm reminded in the scripture, also an example of Jesus and the disciples. They're there in the temple, and Jesus sees them giving their tithes or whatever, their offerings, and here's all these rich people giving great amounts of money. And there comes this woman. And she gives, what is it, like 2 mites? She gives these 2 mites. And what did Jesus say? You know what? She gave everything. She gave more than every other guy gave. Why? Because that was all she had. But I'm going to say, do you know what? I'm sick of it. I'm not going to be in blindness anymore. You know, if he kept that garment on, he's blind. If he kept that garment on, can you imagine him trying to walk to Jesus? He perhaps would have been stumbling over his garment, causing him to not be able to get to Jesus. He says, no, that's not holding me back. I need light. I'm begging for light. I need it in my life. I need to understand. He's crying out to Jesus. He's begging. So here he is. He comes to Jesus. And what did Jesus say? What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? Let me ask you a question. Did Jesus know what this blind man needed? Absolutely. He knew. Now, why was he asking? Why would he need to ask this blind man what he would need? You know, I really think it perhaps may be a demonstration to everyone else, the crowd that's listening all around. Perhaps Jesus is saying, hey, pay attention right here. Pay attention. I think a lot of you out there need this. All of you out there, all of you are seeing. But here's this one man who actually got something. You know, that's a problem that Jesus had with Israel. The problem with Israel, that Israel saw Jesus, you know, the great Savior and whatnot, going to save them. But they couldn't see. They're blind. Now here's the test. If Jesus gave you your eyesight back, what would you do with it? Would you follow him in the way? Or would you go your own way? One guy went his way. We can clearly see what happened to him. Jesus restored his eyesight and says, thy faith made thee whole. He restored his sight. Can you imagine? There's blind Bartimaeus. I don't know how it was exactly happening. I don't know if Bartimaeus came and was there kneeling down before Jesus, and I don't know if Jesus just spoke the words and he received his sight, or if he rubbed his eyes or whatever he did, but just imagine restoring his sight, and what's the first thing Bartimaeus sees? Can you imagine that? You're blind your whole life, and the first person you see standing right there in front of you is Jesus. And it says here that then he followed him in the way. You know, I think blind Bartimaeus never lost his name from that day forward. Everyone continues to know him as blind Bartimaeus. You know, perhaps he was still in the crowds wherever Jesus went, continuing to perform miracles, and there he is out there in crowds, standing back, seeing what Jesus is doing. Perhaps some people come up to him and say, hey, who are you? Well, I'm blind Bartimaeus. Now, before you say anything, you have to understand, I met Jesus. He restored my eyesight. I asked him. Now, I can't help to think that perhaps Bartimaeus led some others to Jesus Christ as well. Perhaps he knew his other blind friends around the block as well and brought them to Jesus. And said, hey, fellas, I used to be blind, but here's a guy who can bring light into your life. Let me show you to him. Perhaps he was that mediator then, bringing others from darkness to light. There's Bartimaeus crying out, what about me? Can you help a guy like me? Have mercy on me. You know what? Bartimaeus got touched in a different way. The Lord had compassion on him. You know, just think about it. This is the Lord who could create the galaxy with just a single word. Yet he'd rather touch a sinner. You know, the Lord didn't come here to view his galaxy. He came down here for you and for me. What love. What compassion. He didn't die for the galaxy. He died for you and for me. You know, Bartimaeus followed in the way, perhaps even bringing others who lived in darkness to the Lord. Let me ask you a question. You perhaps were once living in darkness, having that blindness in your life, not knowing what's going to happen the next day or the following. But there's a time in each of our lives, I believe, that you receive that sight. And that sight, once you get saved, you never have to go back and get resaved again. But let me ask you a question. Who was the last person you brought from darkness that needed the light? There's a world full of people out there just begging for light, just needing some light in their lives. You know, I loved how we studied this morning, the morning service, that Jesus Christ, he is the light. You know, a lot of the world, they go searching for light. They go searching for meaning and answers. But I can tell you that all the other lights that are fine are just fake lights. Nothing that will satisfy them. But Jesus is the true light. You know, you may be here today and say, you know, I'm saved, I'm washed in the blood, but I'm in darkness right now. You know, things are getting pretty bad. I can't see no way out. The pressure is so great and the darkness is so thick. Can I tell you that Jesus has mercy for you? Mercy for you and for me. Every single day. Perhaps many of us are living in fear of what the future holds since we can't see it. There's a fear in our lives and we are needing the light. How desperate are we for that light? Are we willing to forsake all and step out into the light. He is the light when we can't see. You know, many of us are living blind in dark lives. I believe many of us have gotten comfortable in that state, having things come into our lives and distract us. Kind of like you say, getting cataracts. Getting those things that are kind of blurring out your vision. And you can no longer understand why things are happening. You know, I believe it needs to be a personal cry. You know, Bartimaeus here, he didn't say, "Lord, help them, help her, help him." No. He made it personal. He said, "Lord, help me." He wasn't interceding for anyone but himself. Because when you are desperate, there's only one that can help you. Will I get my eyesight back? I don't know. Lord may be taking you through darkness for a reason. You know, we can think of the example of Paul. Paul prayed to the Lord, "Lord, would you remove this thorn from me?" Some of it, we don't know exactly what it was that was bothering him. The Lord says, "No, you know, I want you to have it. Lord, will I glory in my infirmities?" He says, "I don't understand. Perhaps you may give me the ability to understand why you have it. It might be for his glory." You know, another reason I like to think of darkness is, you know, if Bartimaeus were not blind, would he have met Jesus? I don't know. The lepers, if they didn't have leprosy, would they have met Jesus? Kind of doubt it. You know, we wonder many times why God allows things in our life. Why he brings darkness in our life. And I think it's many times to draw us closer to him, to seek for that light. The Lord says, "My grace is sufficient for you. For when you are weak, I am strong. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God." You're not everyone who has eyes can see. You can have perfect vision and yet miss what matters most. You know the crowd? They saw a great man. But Bartimaeus, he saw the Messiah. Are you begging for light? Let's close in a word of prayer. You know, I know we don't have physical blindness here today. I understand that. But I want to ask you, when was the last time you had that desperation cry because you needed light? Does Jesus care? Oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. What do you have to do? Simply be selfish. Me, Lord. Me. We don't need to come to God with all the answers. What spiritual darkness are you facing in your life today? We don't need to fear because God is light. What things are you holding back? What things are you clinging onto because you're walking by sight and not by faith? It's time to run from darkness and run to the light. Pastor.